Welcome to the Victor Collins Asabre podcast. We pray the Holy Spirit will speak to you and stir you up as you listen to this anointed, transformative, and down-to-earth teaching by Bishop Collins. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Enjoy the message.
The salvation is very important. If you are not saved, something is wrong. And it is based on salvation that we are constrained to do the things we are doing for God. You see, if you don't know the cost of you being saved, you will not think of doing anything for God to want to try and pay Him in return. You see, when you have a big debt to pay and you go and ask for help, and when you hear people say, I can't afford all of that, but I can give you a little something. When you are in dire need to kind of pay off a debt that is going to bring you a problem, and you know that if I go to this person, I can get some help, and you go to the person and the person, you know what, I can't afford all of that, I can give you a little something. That's when you understand, now my debt is paid, it is paid in full by the precious blood that my Jesus spilled. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me, whom the Son sets free. Oh, is free. There's no gimmicks here. What Jesus did is complete. The check that He gave us to cash, it didn't bounce. You see, in doing construction, building the house of the Lord, I have experienced a lot of things. If you go to a hardware store, for example, a place like Gafors, with a check, manager's check, they tell you, come back after 2 days before you can pick up the products. Because when you give them a check, they have to make sure that the check is... Manager's check. Even manager's check, you have to wait for two days. Yes, yes, it's okay. You have to wait for 2 days. So sometimes you go and buy products, materials worth hundreds and hundreds of thousands. We prepare to go and withdraw the cash and go and pay and carry our goods.
Whom the Son sets free.
There's no wait 2 days. I'm saying many, many of you sitting down here don't understand what salvation is. That's why you don't want to move a finger for God. Because you don't understand the price that He has paid. That's why Sunday morning coming to church is even difficult for you, because you feel like you don't owe anybody anything. And a lack of unsuccess in life is because people don't know. When you don't know something, you can't be successful if you don't know something. Ignorance is fantastic. I do what I do because He paid a price for me. That's why I love this. The cross that people don't appreciate, that's my salvation. That's why Easter is one of the most important seasons to come to church. Even if it's for 2 weeks, Easter, it's an important season to come to church. Easter.
Over me, how my soul cries. cries out, hallelujah, praise and all.
So, against that backdrop, I'm talking about what you can rise up and do, as it were, to pay your debts. See, the man paid it. The man, if you want to call, Jesus paid your debts for you. What do you have to say thank you to him? By dressing up and coming to church? What is the thank you in that? Then somebody delivers you from death. You dress up. You polish your face and say thank you. You put on wig and say thank you. None of that affects the person who has done something for you. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, the New Living Translation. So you have to understand why I am talking about what I'm talking about. And it is so important for you to also receive. Because even before we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, I believe, before we go there, yeah, welcome to church. This is the Good Shepherd Church, like you were told. Second Corinthians 5, verse 18. New Living Translation. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. God has given us a task. That's what I'm saying. When you don't know something, it's one of the most serious diseases in not moving forward. When you don't know something. He said, God has given us this task. How many of us will go to work and your boss will give you a task and you say, you neighbor? You can't be there any longer. But we come to church and we have a task and we don't care. As if, you see, it's because we don't know that we have been given a task. That's why. He says, the task is what? It's reconciling people to him, bringing people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, because he can count your sins against you. You want to try? Can we start counting the things that God can use against you? Can I start? Sister Sweetie, Sister Nice Face, Sister Nice Body, Sister Highly Educated, Sister Money, Brother This. Can we start talking about the things God can have against you? Let us not start that story at all. None of us will be happy here. He's not counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal for you to do something for him through us. He's making an appeal through us. God is talking to us to talk to you. He's making an appeal through us. That's what I'm talking about, rising up and doing something. And that's going to be your judgment one day. Don't take it for granted that the things we talk about don't make sense. Never make that mistake. It doesn't make sense to you, but it makes sense to God. It is even a testimony against you that you cannot say you never heard anything like that. So we are Christ's agents, insurance brokers, shipping agents, online shopping companies, because he has given us a task
that he's making appeal through us. We speak for God when we plead.
Am I speaking for myself? When I ask you to be a small group leader that gathers some 4 or 5 people and bring them to church on a Sunday, am I speaking for myself? Does it put food on my plate in my house? To get food on my plate in my house, I need money. I have money, I have to go to the market and buy. And that you bring it something does not add anything to my plate. He says, Christ, when we speak for Christ, we speak for Christ when we plead. We don't speak for ourselves. Write on the screen. Unless you can't read. If you can't read, I'm speaking so you can hear.
Come back to God.
One thing you should understand, that no matter how you see the message I'm preaching, you are killing yourself for something else that is not God. The scripture says, the things that the heathen sacrifice, do they sacrifice to God? Everybody here is doing, and everybody here is spending time doing something in their lives, but it is not for God. And that is why Sunday mornings and Tuesday evenings, we are pleading with you, we are speaking. He said that we speak for Christ when we plead. Come back to God. Come back to serving God. Come back to worshiping God. Come back to spending time for the things of God. Spending money on the things of God. Being tired for the things of God. Come back. Look at how far you are falling.
So the Bible says in Matthew chapter 9 verse 35,
see, after all this preaching, God wouldn't tell you anything anymore because he's finished talking to you. You know, when you talk to somebody for a long time, they don't listen. It's okay. It's okay. All right, you try there. Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. Every kind of disease and illness. There's no kind of disease that you have brought here that will not be healed in the name of Jesus. Verse 36. When he saw the crowds as he moved around, there was something that caught his attention. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless. Can you believe that people out there are helpless? No, it doesn't look so. It doesn't appear so. But people are helpless. You see, when Jesus met the woman at the well in Samaria, there was nothing about her that smelled or that spoke helplessness. Until he engaged her. Until he engaged her. And until we engage people, we will see that they are dressed nicely, they have the best jobs, they are our bosses, they are our supervisors, they are our neighbors. They just even brought in a car, registered it PAD. Pad. I don't know what it's always or whatever. Or they registered a bus with BAD. But you, unless you engage them, you will never know how helpless they are in life. People don't look helpless unless you engage them. They were confused and helpless. Many of you are confused even sitting now in church this morning. They were like sheep without a shepherd. So the confusion, the helplessness is because there was no shepherd. That's why we are trying to solve the confusion and the helplessness by rising up and saying, I want to be a shepherd. Because that's what solved the problem. Then he says in verse 37, he said to his disciples, the harvest is great. That is, the number of people possible to come to church on a Sunday morning, it's a great number.
It's a great number. Already by the grace of God, that where we are at. I mean, you can call our church the church at the back of Canal. You can forget about Good Shepherd. It's okay. The church at the back. At the grace of God, we have a few people here. But you'll be surprised how many people can come to God and worship God right here in this place. How many people? There's space. There's a lot of space. Inside and outside. He said the harvest is great, but the people who are supposed to work in the harvest field, they are few. We speak for Christ. So God is saying that I need people to come to me, but the people to send, the people to talk to them, there are few people. So Jesus said in verse 38, he said, pray. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Because many people refuse to be part of what God wants. So now we have to appeal to a higher power to touch people's hearts and to talk to people to join the harvest. And ask him to send more workers. Are you going to be a worker or you don't want to be a worker? Ask your neighbor. You work 40 something hours a week. Not even 2 hours is for God. I said not even 2 hours is for God. Ask your neighbor, how many hours do you work in a week for God? There are many people, when they work and they are paid, they check the number of hours according to their pay. If you ever thief 2 hours from their time, but you don't care about the input you give into the church. You don't care about that. It's nothing to you. When God is saying that, like Jesus himself said, we need a lot of people to work. I'm saying, and I'm campaigning for 100 small group leaders. That's what I'm campaigning for. I have about 42 now. I need 100. I've not even reached half yet. So don't tell me to stop preaching about what I'm preaching. You stop coming to hear what I'm talking about. I need 100 small group leaders, young and old, rich and poor, male and female, because we need more workers into his harvest field. Now plead. And if you don't listen, one day you also need somebody to plead for you and nobody will plead for you. May that never be your story. Yeah. And so we spoke about why you can become a shepherd. You can because you've been in the church for a while. You see, every church has his emphasis. I don't know. Do you understand what I'm saying? Every church has its emphasis. For example, I wish we could have been part of Atonement 2023, which is happening, I think, in Freedom Hope by the Zadok Ministers Fellowship. I wish we would have been part of it, but we can't be part of it because Good Friday is our own major day of service. We are a different denomination who is connected to different organizations or different bodies in the world as one. And that season for us is a very important season. We can't line with other people during those seasons. We may look like we don't want fellowship, but any other day, please call us, we'll come. But not on Good Friday. Good Friday, Charlie, we spend money to build this here that Good Friday we should go. No, Good Friday we are here. Yeah, no, we are at the Good Shepherd Church. Maybe another day, we can meet wherever you want us to come. So, every church, it's Easter is not a good time to want to bring all churches together. Yeah. Good Friday, we are expecting more people than this. Our church, Good Friday, is not only two people who come. I was talking to Maxwell and Zerina. They were telling me that Good Friday really for Guyanese is not a church day. It's cross buns. It's vermicelli. It's watching some Jesus movie at home, relaxing. It's not really a church day. So we as a church want to affect Guyanese culture. And so it's important to direct people to church on Good Friday. Good Friday must be church. They don't know what church they used to go. It's church for you. Ah, okay. So they don't agree with what the people are saying. Yeah. We can show the movie here if you like. Passion of Christ. Can show it all day. When it finishes, we'll press play again. But people's attention must be turned to the church. Yeah, it's very important. So we are a different breed of church that emphasizes on these things that Jesus spoke about. One of the things that my father in the ministry has taught me is the words of Jesus Christ. That's why some Bibles, the words of Jesus are in red. The words of Jesus and the words of your mother or your father, they're completely different. So why you can become a small group leader? When we say small group leader, we are saying, Trisha, did you watch Flo this morning? Did you watch Flo? Did you see somebody's stomach like you? I wonder. No, you should watch those things though. Because in your mindset, when you're pregnant, it's like you become an old woman. It's like you are sick. Pregnancy, you went and opened your leg somewhere. You are not sick. You are not sick. Many people, when they are pregnant, they ain't able no more. They don't even want to come to church anymore. Some still living are sexually active. Yeah. There's a nice picture to see. Because many years ago, Darlene Check from Hillsong, they were recording an album, and her stomach was also very big, and she was leading the songs. Oh yeah. Oh, pregnancy or so what? It's God who has blessed me with a child. Why should I stay away from God? You see, it means you don't understand. So I'm campaigning for 100 small group leaders. Hallelujah. 100 small group leaders. I'm telling you. And God will give me the 100. I'm telling you. Yeah, he'll give it to me. Yeah, yeah. Some of you will never sleep if you don't join. You will never have a good night rest if you don't join. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. You will see my face when you sleep. When you close your eyes, you see my face. And then you call me. I said, no problem. Yeah, you had a dream? Yeah, you should have a dream. I'm expecting you to have a dream. Hallelujah. Wonderful. So why you can become a shepherd? Why you can become a small group leader? Why you can? Because you've been in church for a while. Because God gave you a pastor to perfect you for the work of the ministry. Because God gave you the pastor you have is not to pray for you, pray for you. Some of you like prayer too much. Yeah, you also, you should rise up and also try and pray for somebody as well. Hallelujah. Yes. So I am beginning to talk about why, you see, it is so simple that why every Christian can become a small group leader. But every Christian. Why everybody can become a small group leader. Everybody. 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 Jada. Everybody. Everybody can become a small group leader.
You want some scriptures?
All right. The first point is, all you need is a desire. All you need is a desire. All you need is a desire. You know, desire is very important. Many people have desires for things, but never for something in the church. People have desires for American visa. People have desires for a house lot. People have a desire for business. They want to do business. Yeah, people have a desire for marriage. They want their child father to marry them. They want man. You know, people want man. Yeah, people want some, people say their boss man or some supervisor to just die because he's a crass. You know, people have desires. People want to be rich. Yeah, people want to have a lot of wigs. Yeah, all types of wigs. People want to have a lot of shoes, a lot of clothes. People have car. Somebody wants to drive a car. Wants to have a car. People have desires. The only thing people don't desire is to be a small group leader. It's not on the list. And that says it's a shame because you don't even know the debts that has been paid for you. So 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1, the Apostle Paul speaks to Timothy and says, you know what, this thing that Jesus spoke about, that well, the harvest is plenty but the laborers are few, I want to explain to you that it is indeed a true saying. It's a real thing. It's a nice thing. If any man desire to be a small group leader, he desires a good work to oversee 3 or 4 lives. You see, it's unfortunate that we don't appreciate teachers in our country. It's unfortunate. It's very, very unfortunate. We don't appreciate teachers because we don't even understand what it takes to oversee a class of people for a year, for 2 years, for 3 years, for 4 years. To have a child be in your class for a year and you are teaching this child English A, and at the end of the 1 year in Java, that the child is able to write English A exams and pass. We don't appreciate the inputs and the efforts somebody who is called a teacher gives or puts into our children's life. We don't appreciate that. That's why we also don't appreciate small group leaders. But the Bible says that if anybody desires that work, it's a good thing. It's a very nice thing to be a teacher. Teachers are very precious. How can our children learn how to spell without a teacher? That's why there are so many people in the church. Excuse me to say, the only nice thing is your spiritual life. Everything else is dunce. It's true. And many people who go to church who can't read and who can't do anything. You give problems to your teachers. You don't pass the exams. When they teach, you can't reproduce what they teach. It's true. And then when you are not educated, you create more problems. The extra problems. The lack of education means extra problems. You don't understand a lot of things because 2 times 2, since you didn't understand it, when you come to church, you don't understand some things.
It's a microphone sound. This is, you don't understand it. Yeah, you brought it in the church, you become a problem. No, it's sad. That's why we are trying to, by the grace of God, this coming Saturday, at it was 8 or 9 o'clock, we are inviting all head teachers to come for a service. Because God has directed me to pray for head teachers. Who will come? Yes. Because the head teachers don't know what they are dealing with in the schools. It's not a Ministry of Education problem. It's not child behavior problem. There's something deeper than what is happening in the schools. And it takes spirituality to take that thing out. And God is willing to help teachers who are willing to submit their school life also to Him. He will help them and deal with them. But as we are talking about it, some people are asking, is the ministry aware? Ministry doesn't have to be aware. The ministry of Jesus Christ is aware. It's for you who break down in the school. Who educated woman, you break down in your office. It's for you. You ask me about Ministry of Education. It's you who break down in that small room there. You go mad right there in the school. You ask me whether you need the Minister of Education's permission to come to a church service to help you. You ask me if you need that. Yeah. One of the best professions in this world is a teacher. If there's you know how people have stickers, you know, words on their buses and taxis, you know, study me and run mad. Eh? You know my glory, but I don't know my story. Or you see my glory, but I don't know my story. Where I come from, where I was born, there was a popular thing like that somebody said, if you can read what you are reading, then thank your teacher. Yeah. If you can read what is behind my car that you are reading, then not your mother, of course you have to thank your mother because they paid your school fees, but your mother, even your mother who gave birth to you 9 months, cannot teach you how to say A for apple, B for boy, C for care. We don't have those patience. It's like teaching your wife how to drive. It's a very difficult thing. Akila come, you know, Akila come, you know. But I said that Akila come. It's the truth, right? Look, one of the difficult things to teach your wife how to drive.
They think they are better drivers than you.
When they learn to drive, they think they are better drivers than you.
Yeah.
They say, pass here. Turn left. Turn right. Hey, why are you stopping? Why are you stepping on the brake so? Teach wife. When your voice goes up, he said, "Ma, why are you shouting? It's only me in the car. Man, get some patience, now." So I'll advise you, when your wife wants to learn how to drive, pay for her, take her to driving school, pray for her. Otherwise, when you go to coffee, when you're going home, you'll not be talking in the car. Everybody looking on the side, sir. The car quiet. Because you raise your voice point, she ain't happy that you raise your voice point. Because she's not your child. But it takes something to teach somebody how to do something. It shouldn't be taken for granted at all. And so, the Bible says, if somebody desires to watch over 2 or 3 people in a church, it is a good thing. And let me tell you, some of you had 2 boyfriends and 3 boyfriends at the same time. You were taking care of 3 boyfriends. Some of you had 5 boyfriends at the same time. And we are talking about big men. Some of them, their belly is big.
own secretary, you were able to manage them. So you can't tell me that as a Christian in a church, you can't sit down and discuss the Bible with three people. Every Christian can be a small group leader. All you need is a desire. It's just the desire you lack. To sit down and study and pass an exam, you have skill. You see, one day a young lady left our church. When I used to pastor the church in Georgetown, a young lady left the church. I really loved the young lady. So I was very disturbed. So I went to her house to plead for her to come back. So I sat with her and her husband. And she was very adamant. Then her husband was telling me that, well, pastor, because she said that one of the reasons why she left the church is that we are forcing her to do a small group that she doesn't want to do.
Mela.
Yeah. No, we've been there several times. Yeah, no, there's nothing new. She left because she says that I am forcing her to do home sale. Now, you have to give me an offering when I'm forcing you, because I'm a good man. I'm trying to lead you in a good way. Instead of seeing it as force, you have to say, this man, he really loves me. Yeah, he really loves me. It's very interesting that the way you interpret something is very, very important. Sometimes, if let's say it's a marriage, and the husband loves to, you know, touch you and touch you and touch you, then you see that he says, "Ma, you like touching, ma." Wait until he stops touching you.
It's a next problem. Oh Lord, Pascal, you are very experienced.
Yeah. No, you hardly. You can easily misinterpret the husband's touching as he troubling you. Right? But to the husband, it's not troubling you. It's adoration, it's admiration. It's to the moon and back. To the galaxies and back. It's romantic. But it's how you interpret it. The catching play. So, I told her husband, I think it's a good idea that I am actually pushing her to do something for God. He said, no, she ain't want them thing. Then I said, you see, I will not say that again. You come back to the church. I will not trouble you again. But remember, you have two beauty salons. You have one salon here with girls working, paying rent. You have another beauty salon somewhere else with girls paying rent. You see what you have? You don't want to use it for the church. You have girls who are doing hair. In fact, some of it is even barbershop. So girls on one side, barbers on another side. And you are managing these two businesses. And you are telling me that you can't gather three people in a church and teach them how to read your Bible? I said, I won't trouble you again. It's okay. It's okay. In fact, I feel nice as I was leaving the house that I have evidence against you. Because if you have about 6 girls, 4 boys, they pay weekly something to you. You are paying the rent. You have machines. You take care of the place. You paint. You put mirror. You put a barbering chair. This, that. You do all of that 2 places. And then when you come to the church, you put your wig on and you are sweating. Your wig is so big that you are sweating. You are sitting in the church. You don't move a finger, move anything. You say that I am disturbing your life. I won't disturb your life again. So I'm saying this to say that every Christian has something that you can manage.
And so you can't say, the only thing you lack is the desire. If you desire, you can do it. What is missing is desire, is getting your heart softening for it. That's what is the problem. Your heart has not softened for it because you don't understand. Now you think about me. I was born in Ghana in the west coast of Africa. I migrated to Europe to live for 15 years. Then my pastor sent me to come here to come and do church. Do you think that I'll come here and do church and let you sit down on your ass? Your ass. Is it ass? Or you don't say you ass, ass. I mean, how you say it. I have traveled thousands of miles to follow God and to start church and do church. Now you just come from Georgetown. And you don't want trouble. Some of you don't even cross the river to come here. And you don't want me to trouble you about work for God? Please go to Salvation Army. Find some other church and go to. Because you are in a house that believes in putting a lot into the things of God. That's where you found yourself in. And it's not by accident. It's not coincidental. It's not by accident that you're here. If God wants you to come and sit down, go and come, He'll put you in the Anglican church where a lot of light-skinned people go to. They go and sit down and then you do. Amen. You take Holy Communion. You feel so nice and holy. Then you leave. Then you feed the poor. When the church is doing something, then you give a small donation. You bypass people, you bypass God, you know what? But then in your personal life, you are very aggressive. You have desires for things. Where's Alexis? Can I put up your picture again? Please put Alexis' picture again for me. I have a nice little girl here. I love her very much. I want to show you why I love her. I love her too much. Yeah. Mela, watch the picture that's coming. She's from Genesis Chapel. Formally, you will be from Genesis Chapel. Lights off. Yeah. Alex, I don't know why you stopped doing these things. So. I want to see you in the Sunday Telegraph. Can you see? Come on, Alexis. The people don't say, come. Come on, Alexis. Come. Oh, clap for Alexis, please. Wow, that's right. Why are you cutting hype on me? Come on. That's right. Right here. That is sister Alexis. One day I saw this on Facebook and I saved it because I like the picture. Oh, I like the picture. I said, when I don't build, I get me fancy office, I can blow it up big. Yeah. And put it in my office. Yeah. I like the picture. You look at the picture. Is it Shania Gordon? Is that you I see over there? I waiting for you. Yeah. See, Alexis, number one, this is the Linden Highway.
Yes, Misham.
Yeah. You see the yellow line? That's the middle of the road. Yeah. No. Any vehicle, even if you are a truck with a timber lock on it from the interior, you gotta stop. You see how she, you see, you will stop. I like the boldness. I like the attempt, the motivation.
I like the initiative, the hairstyle. I wanted to do a hairstyle like that, but my hair is not growing enough. I love the character behind the pose and the picture and where it was taken. So I'm telling her, she can't tell me she doesn't want to be a small group leader. She's shy. She can't talk to people. I'll slap it here and I'll slap it there. Look at character. Look at what God can use. Look at what God can use. When God saw that Paul was going around killing Christians, he said, I like this boy. I can use him. I'll meet him on the road to Damascus. I'll meet him on the road to Damascus. I'll change his life. Yeah. On the road to London. How many agree that she can't tell me, a big man like me, that she able?
Correct, Bishop.
True and correct. So every Thursday, I want Alexis to meet. And then Sunday, bring her people. Otherwise, this picture, I'll show it all the rest of my life. Anytime I see her relaxing, I'll bring up the picture. Because I don't want her to rest until she has used this character for the purposes of God. There's more reward there. There's more acknowledgement there. There's more appreciation there than anything else. So let's believe God that we'll finish our office, and then when we are dedicating the office, this will be in my office. Yeah. Please clap for my little girl, Alexis. That's right. And there are Alexises sitting down here. Yeah. There are TikTokers. There are people who... There are so many of you who, in your normal environment, there's no shyness. There's no shame. Yeah. You are bold as a lion. Yes. So you can't say... The only thing you lack is a desire. So you need a desire. That's why there's a song that says, "This is my desire." What I want your desire to be, to do something for God. Oh yes. Where's little Ote? Come Ote. That's Alexis's cousin. Come Ote. Yeah. Ote. Yeah. This is Sister Ote. Yeah. You don't know what Ote can do. Yeah. I won't tell you that part. Sister Charlene knows what I'm talking about. I don't want to talk about that. But she has started a small group. She came Thursday to report about her business activities. And she had 7 people. Yes. Where's Hackett? Come, big yard girl. Come, run. Hackett, yeah. Good. How many people did you get on Thursday?
10, Bishop.
10? Is it 10? I was, 10. Cherry, where's Cherry? Come, Cherry. Cherry is getting married on Sunday. Yeah. Next Sunday. Wow.
She says she has been away for many years.
Cherry, how many people did you get?
26.
26. Somebody had 17. Leroy, come. Yeah? You go do for me? You go do for you? You go do for me? How many people did you get on Thursday?
15, Bishop.
15. These are normal people. These are normal people. Ote, how old are you? You're 20. Hey, you getting big, girl? 20. You are?
20, Bishop.
20?
26. 26.
Don't worry.
20, Bishop.
You're 20. Really, you're 20. You're normal people. Normal people. Normal people. Yeah, type X. Yeah, person X. Yes. Normal. They didn't go to seminary. Do you have a degree from UG?
No, Bishop.
So if you have a degree from UG, your problem is big. What do you get in maths at CXE?
4, Bishop.
4! If you got 2 at CXE, you got problems and you are sitting down. Regular people. The only difference between these people and you is the desire. It's a desire. Those of you who are not small group leaders, it's a desire you don't have. That's a problem. Not that you cannot, you just don't have the desire. You don't want to have the desire. If it was a boyfriend, you have the desire. If it was money, you have the desire. If it was a job at Exxon, you have the desire. If it's sitting down and talking to 3 people about Jesus, you say, I am not a pastor. I'm not a pastor. Please clap for them. God bless you. Keep up the good work. God bless you. Stand to your feet, please. My time is up. My time is up. My time is up. All you need is a desire. All you need is a desire.
For booking and more information on the ministry of Victor Collins, please call us on 592-691-5301. Or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. God richly bless you.